Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk joining you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Carolina.
That would be a little weird.
In my mind, Carolina. I'm going to Carolina. Can't you hear the sunshine? They really get, you know, that high falsetto thing going for James Taylor.
James Taylor is a beast.
A legend. Absolutely. Wherever you are in our great state, if you want to enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, it's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And when you you can get literally anything that, you know, they sell at the store, you can get it there. And don't forget, when you do that, you support the Bulldog Initiative. The same way you do when you do business with our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. That's just a really concise way of saying we can get customers in the front door for you. Whatever it takes. Signage on your building, in your building, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for that. If you need mailers to attract customers, to reward long-time customers, whatever it is you want to do from that angle, they can put something together for you that's going to be fantastic. 30 years being in business, operated and owned by Mississippi State people, Bulldog Initiative business, and any sale you make with them, they donate 10% of it right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you're a business owner, this is a deal you really cannot pass up. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 or visit them online, pipridgeland.com, to find out more information. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com has the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Great selection of polos, pullovers, T-shirts, button-downs, anything Mississippi State. If you want to walk out the door letting people know you support the maroon and white, they've got you covered at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. That's the place to grab the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. If you've got a special occasion coming up, make it more special by booking a table at Restaurant Tyler and having a fantastic meal with your loved ones, with your family, with your friends. Great steaks, pasta, fantastic side dishes, and of course, a tremendous, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but a great selection of wines, cocktails, spirits, and local beers as well. So if you want to have a drink with dinner, you can certainly do that. And maybe my favorite dessert in the state of Mississippi. I mean, it's up there with the stuffed pancakes. I love them. If you want to have a special occasion, make it even more special with a trip to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. I like doing business with the people I know, and especially if we're going to talk about my finances, I definitely want to be able to make a phone call and talk directly to a person. I don't want to be on hold. I don't want to deal with poor customer service when we're talking about my money. That's what you get with Priority One Bank. They give you everything that a big corporate bank can give you without the stuff that you don't want. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know about their app. It's a great app. You do a lot more on there than just move your money around. It's got a lot of financial power right there on your mobile device. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey there, Robbie.
Hey there, Brian.
We got a lot. We got a big show today. We got a lot to talk about. We've got two SEC previews. We're only going to talk about one here on the show. The other one will be on the podcast feed. We're going to do Missouri here on the show. We'll also put South Carolina on the podcast feed. No reason to put that on the show because we don't state doesn't play South Carolina this year. We'll do Tennessee tomorrow. We've got a positional breakdown to get to for spring football. We're talking about the defensive line today, but it is time. We've got to talk about this baseball series. Here in Oxford, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Seven straight series, Mississippi State has been able to beat Ole Miss, and they will be a favorite to make that eight in a row against an Ole Miss team that is struggling this year. The word I want to use for Mississippi State right now is inconsistent, right? I just feel like they're an inconsistent team. Now, maybe that's just, you know, they've played two road series, they've lost both of them. They've played two home series, they've won both of them. Maybe that's just what you should expect. Maybe that is the consistency, to be honest, being 500 at this point. This is their first opportunity to go on the road against a team that they're going to be favored to beat. Do you think Mississippi State has the consistency to win this series?
Yeah, I think they do. But we've talked about it before. We've seen worse teams go there and win series. That 2022 team was not good. They won nine SEC games. And listen, you know, Ole Miss, I think after that, was 6-12 or something in the league. It was two teams that were both very similar at the time. And I remember having the podcast and us saying, whoever wins this is probably going to go to the NCAA tournament or is moving in the right direction probably, and the other one is done. And
we were wrong.
We were quite wrong. But that was kind of an anomaly. I don't think that happens very often. They were 6-12, and they end up somehow getting in the tournament. But I think that this team, much more than the last 2 years, is capable of having that mentality of going on the road and kind of taking over a ball game, or if things are going wrong or they get down in a ball game, they can come back and win. And that's kind of the stuff that you have to have happen, because you think about Ole Miss and their ability to hit home runs, and they're going to be at home. They're probably going to hit a big home run early or a big home run at some point, and the crowd's going to be in it. Can Mississippi State kind of get past that and kind of settle in? I think this team's capable of doing that, especially from a starting pitching standpoint. When you think like Cal Steven maybe giving up a solo home run early or something, you can easily see him bouncing back from that and not allowing that to kind of steamroll and get in his head. Now, Ole Miss, they've been bad at home too. Like they've almost been as bad as home as they have anywhere else.
Swept by Kentucky 2 weeks ago.
You're not taking on a team that is just a great home team or a team that plays great baseball. They're going to make some mistakes in the game. I think State is a team that has been able to take advantage of a lot of mistakes. So they play clean defense. They pitch it well enough to stay in ball games. And the offense can kind of grind out at bats usually. And I think they'll be patient enough to kind of stand up there. And if Ole Miss isn't able to find the zone, just take their bases. And Ole Miss has struggled with walks. So, I mean, I'm going into this weekend, I think State is fairly capable of winning all three games. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't predict it.
Right.
But it would surprise me if they didn't win the series.
One thing to take into account is that, you know, when you, from a fan perspective, the Ole Miss fans they're kind of fed up at this point. You know, they were 2 years ago. I know that we've talked about this so many times. I'm tired of saying it, but it's the truth. They were bad in the regular season. They got hot at the right time and they won a national title, but they've had three regular seasons in a row where they've underachieved. No, no question about that. And there's something to that. And if State can come out, especially early on Friday, and get the lead, that crowd is going to be restless. We'll put it that way, and that'll go a long way for Mississippi State, because I agree with you. If you let that crowd into it early, these are going to be big crowds this weekend. There's no getting around that. I'm sure there'll be a respectable Mississippi State contingent among the Ole Miss fans out there, but it's going to be a big hostile crowd, especially when the game starts on Friday night. If you can get on the board early against this Rebel team, you have a chance. I think mentally, you know, we've been talking about State and their mental toughness. I think Ole Miss is kind of the opposite right now. I think Ole Miss, I thought they played better last weekend at Arkansas. I know they got swept, but they went up to Arkansas and they were in every game. 2 weeks ago against Kentucky, they did not do that. They got pushed around on their own home field. And, you know, I'm not saying they quit, but I am saying they didn't fight back as hard as you would expect. If Mississippi State can come in and get some early leads on the Rebels, You could see them, you know, maybe not have the same amount of pushback that you would think.
They're having the exact same season basically as Mississippi State last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mississippi State last year, you remember they just in a lot of these games they weren't competitive. I know they were competitive against Arkansas, but you know the Tennessee series they won one of those games and Tennessee blew them out in the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kentucky series they got blown out in the game or two and got swept at home. They're going through a lot of the same things Mississippi State did last year. They're struggling to pitch. They do have a couple of guys that have pitched it, but they can't really seem to find a starting rotation they like. They're making mistakes in the defensive end. They're walking a lot of people. We're seeing a lot of similarities between Mississippi State last year and Ole Miss this year. So I think they'll have a big crowd, especially on Saturday, because that's the Grove Bowl, and you know people are just going to be there by default, and they'll come to the game just to hang out and drink and you know just sit there and watch baseball like they usually – like Mississippi State usually does too. But this is a situation where if State can get a lead, if things are going bad, people will just start to lose interest.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. For Mississippi State, you know, they haven't released the rotation. I think at this point, you can go ahead and drop the charade and tell everybody that Sierra is going to start on Sunday. There's no way you convince me that Nate Dome's pitching this weekend. So Steven, Gerangelo, and Sierra. When we talked to Mike Bianco on Sports Talk Mississippi, this was the first week where he didn't know his rotation yet. He wasn't sure what that rotation was going to be for the weekend. So we're still waiting to hear what that is from Ole Miss. State has feels like they have a pretty good advantage on the mound there. And then I feel like State's the better team overall. The only reason, if State was playing, if everything else was the same and the other team's jerseys said South Carolina or Vanderbilt, I would tell you State was going to win this series, no questions asked. It's just the emotion of the rivalry is the only thing. But at the same time, it's a Mississippi State program that has won eight of its – is that correct? Yes, eight of the last nine games played in Oxford. So I don't think that – I mean, the coaching staff and the players, I don't think they're going to be intimidated at all by Ole Miss.
No, and what's weird about this whole thing, I had a long conversation with Chase Parham and was on his podcast today, and we were talking about this phenomenon that's happened over the last 8 years at this point of Mississippi State just owning this series. And it's kind of hard to understand how it's happening, because if you break down the series year by year, almost every team is different for Mississippi State. And, you know, Ole Miss has had a lot of the similar teams. Like, they've been pretty consistent. State has had a lot of ebbs and flows with their teams. And while they have from 16 to 21 and a super regional team every year, and they went to Omaha 3 years in a row, there was a lot of turbulence in there, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 16 was a good year. 17 was a team that was being carried basically by Brent Rooker and Jake Mangum.
Yeah.
The pitching staff was decimated,
mm-hmm.
but they somehow found a way mm-hmm. to be clicking and put themselves in position to play in the super regional that year. 18, we remember that team started 1-7 in SEC play, and going into that Ole Miss series, there weren't a lot of people that were giving Mississippi State a chance in that series.
Right.
And Luke Alexander walks off Ole Miss and on Sunday to win that series. You know, 19 and 21, I think Mississippi State had the better team. But those were hotly contested games as well. And then 22, really good series. 23, I thought, was a pretty good series as well. Almost every series has been pretty close. We've seen a couple of sweeps in there, but almost every single series has been pretty close. State has just found a way to win them all. And I can't really explain how that happens, but that's just where it is. Maybe it's when it comes down to the nitty-gritty or whatever, Mississippi State just knows how to win those games and Ole Miss kind of finds a way to lose.
It should be a very interesting series. As I said, it's just Wednesday, so I assume we'll get the rotation around this time tomorrow, Thursday, as you're listening. And then we'll sort of take it from there. But I have a confidence in this team that I've had some confidence in them basically ever since the LSU series. I thought they would go out to A&M, and I knew they would get one, and I thought they could maybe get two. Same with Florida. And you look at Florida right now, that's a team that State's going to regret dropping those games because it's. I don't think Florida's very good. I mean, they're 17-15.
Yeah.
I mean, they got
they're fraud
massacred by Florida State on Tuesday night. And then, you know, you go to Georgia and, I mean, State, that you can make a legit case. I hate to play woulda, coulda, shoulda, but State woulda, coulda, shoulda, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 more SEC wins. They probably should have beaten LSU on Saturday. They should have gotten at least one more from Florida, and they should have beaten Georgia Saturday night. I mean, it's crazy how close this team is to not only just being really good, but, you know, being in the hosting discussion. The problem is, I mean, this is a very – I think this is a realistic scenario. You tell me if I'm wrong, right? The State has 4 series left that I'm like, they can win those series, right? And that's Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama, and Missouri, okay? So let's just say they don't sweep any of those teams. They go 8-4 in those 12 games, right? So that's 14 wins right there. And then they have 3 other series, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Arkansas. Well, let's say they don't get swept, right? So they get 1 win in all 3 of those series. Probably that's 17 conference wins.
Yeah.
You should be able to host, but they're not going to be able to because their RPI and the non-conference is just going to be too low. But they're going to be a 2 seed that absolutely nobody wants in their region.
That's right. And this is a team that I think is people have talked about the injuries, but I do think that this team is capable of making a run because you have 2 really good starting pitchers that can get you 6-7 innings on any given weekend. And then you just piece it together on another one. I mean, most everybody that's really good is in that position. There's not many teams that have 2 really good starting pitchers mm-hmm. that every single weekend, you know, 2 guys are more often than not going to get you 6-7 innings, 2-3 runs tops against them. But State has that luxury this year. I think they have guys that are competing like that. And then you have a couple of really good bullpen pieces as well. So, it's a lineup that can get hot. The defense plays well enough. You have some ingredients there that you can make a run. You just have to find a way to get to postseason, in my opinion. This isn't a year that style points really matter for me. This is a program and a coach that's trying to save his job. A program that's trying to get back to where they were. It's not going to happen this year. This isn't a team that the expectations, as much as it hurts for people to say, the expectations should be winning a national championship. That is the expectation for Mississippi State. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But when I look at this roster and I look at this team, I don't think it's a reasonable expectation to say this team should be playing for a national championship.
Okay.
But can they get hot at the right time and get in a super regional and see what happens?
Yeah.
And then anything could happen from there. To me, they just need to get to postseason.
That kind of begs a question, though. And we'll go down this road a little bit. That for Mississippi State baseball, you know, back in the postseason this year, I think, you know, that's where they're headed right now. If they don't get back to the postseason, that question answers itself. But back in the postseason, so Lamonis gets them back there. Is Lamonis still the guy to get them back where they belong? Is Lamonis still the coach who can get this team back to Omaha on a more regular basis to host regionals, to host super regionals, which is why you build a $60 million ballpark? Is he that guy still, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is. I think what we've learned about Chris Lamonis is it's about the people that he has in the dugout. I think that we have enough evidence at this point to say that I don't know if Chris Lamonis is a guy that is going to be in your face, micromanage type coach, you know, motivational guy. I don't think that's Chris Lamonis. I think Chris Lamonis is very good at putting pieces into place that he has on the roster and making it work and letting guys be themselves, which is a very important thing for me when looking at a coach, how many times do we talk about John Cohen just micromanaging things down to the T and would just absolutely put the pressure on players to the point where they just kind of imploded?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a happy medium that you have to find between being a micromanager, a guy that's just a complete a-hole. And I'm not saying that's Cohen. I'm just saying the extreme coach in that regard. And then the guy that just is a complete softy that can't do anything. I think there's a happy medium there. And I think Chris Lemonis found that mm-hmm. in 19 and 21. And in 20, I think they were going to be really good too.
Would have been fine, yeah.
Yeah, I think that team would have competed for a national championship. I think they were that good. But I think that is the key. He's got to have those alpha competitors in his dugout to kind of hold the team and hold everybody accountable in the locker room while he puts all the pieces in place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been to Omaha twice. He's won a national championship. We know he's capable of doing that. So I absolutely think that he is a guy that can get Mississippi State back to that stage. I think it just matters who he has in the locker room to get him there.
What's interesting for me, when you look to next year, no Dakota Jordan, he'll be gone. Hunter Hines will be gone. Steven will be gone. Gerangelo, I don't know if he's draft eligible or not. My guess
he is.
Okay, then yeah. I mean, you could be looking at a big revamp with this team. And so if you get back to postseason play next year, when you're losing that kind of talent, that's a good job. But at the same time, Robbie, if it's 2 years in a row of not hosting, is that a problem for Lemonis? Do people say, look, yeah, it's great that we're doing this, but this is not what Mississippi State baseball is. It's almost like, you know, if Kirby Smart just started going to the Liberty Bowl, I don't think they would keep him around Georgia very long. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I do think big picture that is an issue, but I also think that sometimes you kind of have to use common sense too and look at what you got. And listen, they're in this position because of Chris Lemonis. This is his team. It's his responsibility to put a roster together and to have his team ready. And they are in this position because of that. But like I've always said, I think it matters if you are showing progress and you're showing you're moving back into that position. And if Mississippi State is showing that, you know, this next year's team is pretty young, but they're really competitive and they're like this year and they're competing in ball games and they're showing toughness, I think he'll be fine. But if it's a team that's getting run ruled or they're losing, you know, midweek games to Jackson State or something, then no, I don't think that's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the context matters in that case. And also, he's got to do what it takes to go out there and get players in the portal or whatever that are going to help him win next year. I don't think that you should rely on the transfer portal every year in baseball. I think that it should fill a couple of holes on your roster, but you need to be able to evaluate better and recruit better and get players in here that you can develop, that when Gerangelo Sanja is out, can come in and take his place.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to do better. And the last couple of recruiting classes, you know, were kind of duds. I mean, there were some big pieces in it, but he's had a couple of dud recruiting classes.
Yeah.
So it's really important that he nails those recruiting classes here in the next couple of years for Mississippi State to get back, because the one he just signed lost a lot of players in it. The next one lost some players in it. He's got to be able to kind of get that back and be able to develop and use his own guys without having to rely on the transfer portal, which he hasn't really had to rely on the transfer portal at this point.
Right. Next year, I feel like he's going to have to rely on the transfer portal. He's going to have five or six difference makers. That's another thing to consider, though, is can he do that? And I understand why he missed out on some of the guys he's missed out on these past 2 years, because people were concerned. But if he gets State back into the postseason and you feel like they're going in the right direction, you should be able to parlay that into recruiting success. So we'll see if that is indeed the case. Big series, though, going back to the, where we were talking about, big series for the Bulldogs. We'll continue to preview it on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, and we should have great weather for that, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I was at the grocery store today. It never ceases to amaze me, the different cuts that you can put out there. We're coming up on Mississippi pot roast time, too. I got to be honest with you. It's been a little while since I've had one of those, and I crave that. And that's something I like to eat, and it's so easy to cook, so why would I not do it? And that's something I can do thanks to our beef providers here in the state of Mississippi. They keep it coming so that I don't ever have to go to the grocery store and go, hey, where are the steaks? I don't want to do that. I want to go to the grocery store and be like, oh, those are the steaks. And you can do that this weekend.
This weekend, fire up the grill.
Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you are looking for. Anytime you're going to be in Starkville, it's a good time to go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Voted the best barbecue restaurant that supports Thunder and Lightning. So, I don't know if you guys saw that award, but it's out there.
It's true.
So, enjoy a great trip to Two Brothers. Enjoy a trip out to the patio. When the weather's nice, there's no better place to be in Starkville than Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. That means that they know how to do service after the sale. So why don't you do business with them? If you need a new copier, a new printer, computers, whatever it is, they've got you covered at Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong, and guys, it's a machine. Something is going to go wrong. At the end of the day, somebody's just going to spill a cup of coffee on it, and you might need to get something replaced. They can help you out at Advantage Business Systems like nobody else can. Because anybody else you deal with, they're putting you on hold for at a call center. And they're going to set up a meeting with an out-of-state technician. And maybe 7 to 10 days later, you can be there. Not the case with Advantage Business Systems, because they're in Mississippi, just like you are. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to find the Mississippi State merchandise you're looking for here in Starkville. A great selection of gear, all of it with the logos that you want to wear. The state script, the interlocking, the M over S, the walking bully. They've got it all there at Maroon & Co. They're keeping up with the times. If you want to get Bulldog Initiative gear like you see the coaches wearing, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. If you want to get a custom cowbell made by the Bellsmith, you can get that at Maroon & Co. You can't get this stuff anywhere else in Starkville, only at Maroon & Co. Before you head to Diddy Noble this spring, make sure you've got a trip to Maroon & Co. planned out for you. This Mississippi State defensive line this year, Robbie, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember in recent years past ever having this level of concern. I mean, I look at this group, and I mean, I'm just not sure about hardly any of these guys. The guy I like the most is Trevion Williams, but he hasn't shown us really anything because of injury. I'm excited about the potential of Calvin Dinkins, kind of the same thing there. You bring in a couple of junior college guys. You bring in a couple of transfers, but none of them are known difference makers. The thing that gives me some pause, some hope, I guess he will, is that the guy leading this group is maybe the best defensive line coach in college football. This is a guy who has put all pros out, has recruited some of the best players in the NFL over the last decade at this position. And it feels like he likes the group that he has. From when we've talked to him and from just, you know, things you hear, it feels like David Turner likes his defensive line group. So is this a situation where I'm not a big fan of just, hey, just trust the coaches? That tends to go bad sometimes. But is this a situation where I need to at least let him prove me wrong?
Yeah, I think so. And I've heard good things about this line so far in camp. But I'm not ready to jump all on board with them because I haven't seen them prove it in the game. And I've heard good things from camp before that didn't turn out to be true. But I have heard some good things. Trevion Williams is looking good. I think they've seen some good things so far from Bingley Jones and Kapaka too. So I'm going to wait and see and see how they turn out. I know one thing, if anybody on that staff has earned a little bit of grace at this point is David Turner for what he's done at Mississippi State over what, close to a decade as a coach. He deserves at least a little bit of our time to see if he can do something with these guys.
Yeah.
And he has been a guy that's been pretty high on some of these younger players. So we'll see what happens. I think there's definitely an NFL talent there in Travion Williams. And I think Calvin Dinkins has a chance to be one too. So that's a good starting point when you have two guys at nose tackle and defensive tackle that can do that. And I think DeMonte Russell is going to be invaluable to have a guy like that out there who's been here for 5 or 6 years, whatever it is now. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a big piece for them, and we'll see who else. It was a little concerning that they weren't able to get like some high-end talent in here, and they just got quote-unquote depth pieces out of the portal. But again, I'm going to give David Turner the benefit of the doubt every time until he proves to me that it's not going to happen.
DeMonte Russell is the interesting character. This is the guy who's the most proven commodity. He's had a moment or two here in his career at Mississippi State, but it's never all come together for him. Very rarely do you see a guy who hasn't had, you know, the ramp up have a big senior year. It doesn't happen very often. Is DeMonte Russell a guy who could come out of nowhere to be a difference maker for Mississippi State this year?
He could. One of the things that's held him back is the fact that he hasn't been healthy. And that stems back to his freshman year or whenever that was when he had the car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And had a few things after that kind of kept him away from being what he needed to be. But this is the best shape he's been in since he's been at Mississippi State. He looks to be healthy. I thought he showed some promise last year, easily his best year. I don't know how big of a difference maker he can be, but I definitely think that he can be a leader on that defensive front and be a big piece for Mississippi State this year. I think it was big to get him back because you lost so many older guys on that defensive line. You needed somebody that's had some kind of experience to get out there and help. So he's going to be big for Mississippi State this year. How big that is, what that translates to as far as his numbers, I don't know. But I think he will help the defense in a big way.
The thing with Russell to me is this. He doesn't have to be Montez Sweat. But can he be Danico Autry? Can he be what Chauncey Rivers gave State a couple years ago? Just, you know, 4 or 5 sacks and just that consistent presence off the edge. If he can do that, I think that's a big win for Mississippi State. Bingley Jones is very interesting to me. That's a guy who had a big-time recruiting profile. It just hasn't worked out for him thus far in college, but you feel like that talent is there. And then another guy I kind of have my eye on as far as the newcomers go is Wilkie Dinaud. I think that he is, from a recruiting profile standpoint, again, because he didn't play last year, I think he has a very high ceiling. I mean, this is a guy who had a ton of SEC offers coming out of high school. I think that, you know, getting him on campus was a big deal for Mississippi State. He, you know, one of the few recruiting battles that this staff kind of won in the spring. I think that he is potentially a dark horse to be a big player for Mississippi State this year.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard much about him. I'm very intrigued mm-hmm. with how he's coming along because I don't know much about him right now and where he is as far as his development.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways that concerns me, but I mean, in other ways, I just don't – it's kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of need a guy like that to emerge for them and a guy that I think can be a good pass rusher for them. They need some pass rushing. I also think that the way that this base scheme is set up, it's not going to be so much do or die like it was at times with the 3-3-5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're going to have a lot of times you might have a 4 down front. You might have a 3-4. So there's going to be a little more help there defensively, and it's going to be, I think, better suited for the personnel that they have. But, yeah, I'm really interested to see what he looks like this year.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about him in the spring so far.
Yeah, that's a guy. Yeah, I keep waiting to hear more updates, and I haven't yet. So that concerns me a little, but at the same time, I feel like if he can put it together, he can be a difference maker for Mississippi State in this 2024 season. All right, we'll do linebackers, and we'll talk about the secondary, next week. Let's do an SEC preview, and you said you wanted to do Missouri today. You said that because they're boring.
I want to preface this by saying I realize that this team was one of the better teams in the SEC last year. They did some really good things. It's just the whole Missouri brand to me is just very.
I get it.
Even when you mentioned them today, like my first instinct was, let's hurry up and get them out of the way. And like, this is a playoff team.
I mean,
this team's gonna be in the playoff.
I would rather
be
a boring 11-2 than an exciting 5-7 any day of the week. The problem for State last year is State was a boring 5-7.
This team has been in more SEC championships than Mississippi State has.
Yeah. And like I said, State's problem was being a boring 5-7. Being a boring 11-2 is great. And I found, like I said, I found it interesting you said boring because they may have the most explosive, exciting player in the conference in Luther Burden, who should be the top receiver, maybe in college football this upcoming year, especially with Malik Nabers gone on to the NFL. I don't think we realized that the three best receivers in the conference last year were as good as anybody in the country. Nabers, Burden, and then Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. All difference makers, and two of them are gone. Burden is the only one back. So let's learn more about the Missouri Tigers. I talked to Gerard Hamilton. He covers the Tigers for PowerMizzou.com. That's the Rivals site that covers Missouri. Let's get his thoughts on what should be a team that contends for the college football playoff. Let's talk about the Missouri Tigers. Gerard Hamilton joins us from PowerMizzou.com. That's the Rivals site that covers the Tigers up there. And Gerard, there's no getting around the fact that maybe one of the biggest surprises in college football last year was the Missouri Tigers, a team that I think, you know, was predicted towards the middle of the pack, maybe even the bottom of the SEC East. Instead, they were a top 10 team for most of the year, 10 wins in the regular season. They go to the Cotton Bowl. They beat Ohio State. All that's great, and now it leads to expectations. Is this a team that's ready to handle big expectations in 2024?
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, it was a strong 2023 campaign. I think after you add in the Cotton Bowl victory, I think they had four ranked victories, versus top 25 teams. So last year, their motto, something to prove. They always are saying that. And kind of towards the end of the regular season last year, and then stretching through, spring ball that finished up a couple weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure they'll go through the rest of the season, is kind of like, why stop now? That's their new thing. You know, they did all that work and they've got some momentum going, but why, stop at 11 wins? Why stop at the Cotton Bowl? They're looking at that 12 team playoff, and they've got the pieces to do it. They retained a lot of their coaching staff, outside of defensive coordinator Blake Baker and edge coach Kevin Peoples, but they got in a couple good coaches to replace them. So when you add in so much talent they got coming back, a lot of the coaches coming back, recruiting's doing well, everything, all this momentum's going for it. Yeah, they're kind of looking at what's that next step, and that next step is making that 12-team playoff.
So that leads into my next question, and I did a preview for Tennessee, and I asked this exact same question, so I'll ask it about Missouri. Mm-hmm. Is Missouri a playoff contender or a title contender?
I'll stay with playoff contender, and it's not because of what's so much on the team. It's when you look at their schedule, it's a nice schedule, and there's no easy games in the SEC. I mean, you can pick on whoever you want to pick on and say, well, what about this team or that team? Regardless, everybody would pretty much say it's the toughest conference in the sport. So there's no easy schedule. But when you look at theirs, pretty sure there's no Georgia, there's no LSU, I want to say, no Tennessee, no Texas. So, I mean, you avoided four big teams right there. Your biggest games of the season is at Alabama, and then you got a home game versus Oklahoma. Rest of that schedule, it's hard for me to say they – go anything worse than 10-2 when you look at the schedule of everything, if they're healthy and all that. So they should be a contender for the playoffs, certainly, but until maybe that Alabama game or perhaps the Oklahoma game, guess you can't really know if they're playoff contenders because they don't have, I mean, you know, title contenders because they don't just have like tons of teams where you're like, oh, that's going to be a tough game or something like that, as opposed to Oklahoma, who I think has like four ranked games before they come to Columbia and face the Tigers. So, I mean, I really don't know at this point yet, but I think they're a talented team, but we've kind of got to see where they fit in when they after they play Alabama and Oklahoma.
This is a good year for quarterbacks in the SEC. You've got a couple of elite guys in Ewers and Beck. You've got some good guys. And Brady Cook is among that tier, maybe that second tier down of SEC quarterbacks. Where do you rank him when you look at the rest of the conference?
He's up there. He's definitely near the top. And his story is it's pretty incredible. A couple of years ago when I started on the beat, let's just say the fan base, he was a very polarizing figure. I'm a big wrestling guy. So if anybody knows wrestling, he was a John Cena type guy. Some people loved him. Some people hated him. He had an injury that he went through in week two of that year that kind of hampered his play. And so it wasn't a ton of love, but last year he certainly proved it. He is one of the better quarterbacks. He's safe with the ball. He's not going to turn it over much. His passing has gotten better. His accuracy has gotten better. His deep ball throwing has gotten better. He's reading the field better, and he can run with his legs. So he's definitely one of the better quarterbacks, and it was just everything worked so well last year. And when you look at his receivers and you look at his offensive line and what he's got, I mean, you would think there's a step that he can take forward to be even better this year.
I just want to let you know, I checked your resume. I know you're kind of new to the SEC. I just want to welcome you to the fraternity of beat writers who love wrestling, because you are welcome to join us, my friend. We meet every Monday and Wednesday for whatever you want to do.
Oh man, great! I was locked in this weekend, so that's
yes, we all were.
My
we
type of
were.
Thing, yeah.
So there's Cook among the better quarterbacks in the SEC. What about Luther Burden? Is he the best receiver in the SEC?
You can say that he's possibly the best receiver in the country. And my mind's going blank because, recently, probably like many people, I've been locked into mock drafts and looking at the receivers that are in the draft class. So I'm probably blanking on another person who's instantly right there with Luther going into 2024 for college. But Luther is one of the top wide receivers, top players in the country. And yeah, he's definitely probably someone who should be up for the Biletnikoff, maybe Heisman. They've already kind of hinted at that a little bit last year, the Tigers did. But I mean, he can do everything. He played outside, kind of the X receiver his freshman year, and that wasn't where his natural fit is, but he was so talented, and because they had a slew of slot guys in the roster, he's so talented, they said, well, we still got to get him out there. And he still tied the team in total touchdowns with 9. And then this year, I think it's, 1,197 he had. I'm trying to think of his yards off the top of my head, but I think it was over like 80 receptions for almost 1,200 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns or something like that when he got moved to the slot. So another year under his belt, another year with Kirby Moore, Drink, and Brady Cook. I mean, the sky's the limit.
What does this team have to improve on from a season ago if they want to take another step and become one of the top-tier teams in the SEC?
So if you was to ask Kirby Moore, their offensive coordinator, he would say their red zone efficiency as far as touchdowns. Missouri, for most of the year, was actually number one in red zone efficiency. And they finished third overall. But if you look back, a lot of those drives ended in field goals and not touchdowns. And so when they get in the red zone, they've got to get touchdowns. Didn't hamper them too bad. They obviously went 11-2. But when you get down in that red zone, you've got to score. What else? Probably the biggest thing overall is just self-inflicted wounds. You know, that LSU game, they had that game in hand from the jump. They had a 15-point lead. I want to say like somewhere early to mid second quarter. And then you get towards the end of the game where they have a chance to at least tie it, possibly take the lead based on how they were kind of like shredding LSU's defense. I mean, that was just an offensive game, both sides.
Yeah.
And then you get, I think it's a false start penalty or something like that. And then the next play, it's a, a snap that goes, you know, 10, 15 yards behind Brady Cook, which basically puts them out of field goal range, kind of ends the game. Same thing with Georgia. You got a couple of turnovers. That was a close game. They probably played Georgia closer than anybody all season, not counting that loss they had. Obviously, I think it's Alabama later in the season, but they played Georgia really close, but turnovers down the stretch kind of ended them, and they were really good at not giving the ball away. So I'd say penalties, maybe tackling, and turning field goals into touchdowns in the red zone and things like that. But I feel like for the most part, they've got a lot of the bulk of the work done, but they got to clean up those big details.
You mentioned the schedule for Missouri, and it definitely is. As SEC schedules go, it's about as good as it gets. Can Missouri be 7-0 when they go to Alabama?
7-0 when they – I'm going to pull up the schedule right now because off the top I don't
– I'll give it to you. I got it right here. Murray State, cool. Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, at A&M, at UMass, which is weird, and then Auburn at home.
I'd say they probably should be 7-0 when they head to Tuscaloosa. Usually people would say, you know, Texas A&M is perhaps that game where, you know, they say, that's on the road, Texas A&M always just feels like that weird, at least as of late, that weird middle of the pack team that can give anybody a run for their money on a good day. But because I don't know exactly how that team is shaping up with the new coach and what they got going on, I can't say for sure. Auburn will be an interesting game. But I think they should be 7-0 going into that game.
Why are they at UMass?
I to be honest, I really couldn't tell you. I don't know why. That is such a random game on the schedule. A lot of fans are kind of like, it's one of those games. But, I mean, for me, I'm not terribly mad to go to the Boston area.
No, I imagine you're not, yeah.
But I couldn't tell you why that game's on there. I don't know. But that game should be nothing less than a blowout,
yeah,
to be honest.
Mississippi State played up there in 2016, but played in Foxborough and played at the Patriot Stadium. I don't know where that game is. If it's being played on UMass's campus, that's weird, but we'll just go with it. So, Jerod Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks. I'm sure we'll talk to you again later this season.
Yeah, and throw me into these wrestling chats, man. I need people to talk about the story.
I'm going to give you a follow on Twitter, man. We'll keep you in.
All right, cool thing. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks to Jerod. Appreciate his time. The schedule for Missouri is just ridiculous, Robbie. I don't know if you've really looked at it or not, but their schedule is such that if they don't win at least 9 games, then that's really disappointing. Listen to the schedule. Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, at A&M, crazily enough, at UMass, and then Auburn at home. That's their first 7 games, Robbie. They should, in all likelihood, be 7-0. I mean, the toughest game in there is at Texas A&M, but that is certainly a winnable football game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This team's returning a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, you know, I had all but given up on Eli Drinkwitz. Mm-hmm. He was all talk and no substance and this a very boring product. They had done nothing in his first couple of years. Last year changed my opinion on him. And look, they're investing in NIL. They got it going on. They had probably one of their best recruiting classes ever last year. This is a team that's starting to kind of find its way. And I don't know why last year was when everything came together, but I like this team this year. I think they're going to be able to rack up some wins. I mean, Alabama is certainly daunting, but not like it was. This isn't the Nick Saban Alabama. I think we're all going to change our viewpoint on Alabama over the next 3 years. They're still, I think, going to be a good team, but it's no longer going to be the evil empire that
you're not just going to automatically write L down when you
exactly
schedule. I agree with you.
But you look at this,
but not Alabama.
you look at the schedule and they're going to blow away all their non-conference teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start, like you said, I mean, the start of the schedule is just
they should be
brutal in a good way for them.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that they have the opportunity. If they beat Texas A&M, you're looking at, what'd you say, 7-0?
7-0, yeah.
With Auburn coming to their place, which suddenly has somehow become a tough place to play.
Yeah.
It's a very manageable schedule, man. It's a very manageable schedule.
They get Oklahoma at home.
State gets them at home, so we'll see about that. But
week before the Egg Bowl, too.
Yeah, I would still take Missouri today.
I mean, I look at the schedule. I think they lose at Alabama. And, I mean, they're just not so good that I don't think that they couldn't lose at A&M or lose to Oklahoma. Beyond that, I mean, right now I would probably predict them to win the rest of their games and be 10-2. Probably 9-3 is the low end. Anything lower than that, though, and I feel like that's a, believe it or not, somehow for Missouri, an 8-4 year would be a disappointing season for them.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a team that should be in the playoff this year.
Absolutely.
So, and, you know, three losses is going to be straddling the fence, but I think this is a playoff team.
I agree. Something somebody pointed out to me, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it real quick. We've done a bunch of these interviews, right? I think we have three left, so we've done 12. Everybody is up on their team, it feels like. Other than Jackson Fuller, who covers Arkansas, I feel like everybody's like, yeah, it should be better than last year. And that's just not physically possible. You know, somebody has to lose some games. I think, now we'll talk to somebody from Vanderbilt in a couple weeks, or next week, I should say. And I talked to Alan Cole from GamecockScoop.com. That'll be on the podcast feed today for South Carolina. And I think he's like, we'll see. But, I mean, almost everybody's like, oh, yeah, they should be maybe a game, win one more game than they did last year. There's only so many wins to go around. I think maybe when we get done with these previews, we might want to break out a helmet schedule and get an early idea of what we think of this conference.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned Arkansas. Do you think they pivot a little away from football now? And everybody's investing in basketball a little more?
They'll invest in basketball. You can't pivot away from football. There's too much. That's where the money is. You can't.
You can't.
But
do you think they do a little bit to be able to handle what they've just brought in? They just brought in – not only did they bring in a guy that's demanding a lot of money, they've got to spend a lot of money to keep up with what he's demanding.
I get what you're saying, but, I mean, Arkansas has money. They always have big expectations in basketball anyway. I mean, I don't know that their expectation level really changed that much from Musselman to Calipari. I think they came into this year thinking they could contend for the national championship. And they didn't. And so they were probably okay with Musselman leaving, and they're certainly okay with Calipari coming in. So,
but wasn't one of the issues for them recently is they weren't spending what they needed to on NIL.
But that's where these guys have stepped up. These Tyson guys have stepped up and said, "Hey, we're here to help you contribute." So,
and that's what I'm saying. You know, Arkansas, like, that is a lot of money, Walmart mm-hmm. and Tyson or whatever, but Arkansas hasn't been setting the world on fire in football recruiting.
No.
So
I get what you're saying.
I feel like a little bit of their attention is going to have to go to basketball now. And with that, it's the end of the road for Sam Pittman.
That's not good. Yeah.
I hear nothing about their football. You know, the last couple of years, their own writers have been hyping them up. You know, they're going
to this year. Yeah.
And I don't know what they're like. What's their quarterback situation?
They got that transfer from Boise.
Completely forgot. That's kind of where we are.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. Next, we'll do a Tennessee tomorrow is our preview. We'll talk about the Volunteers on that one. We'll have more Ole Miss, Mississippi State baseball preview. I'll probably get somebody on, maybe Borky, maybe Cross, or maybe somebody else to talk about the game and this series and the Rebel baseball team that I still think that Bianco is in trouble. We'll see if that comes to fruition long term, but I can't see how they're going to continue like this, but that's just me. All right, guys, have a great Thursday. Robbie and I will be back with you on Friday. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.